Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Your hosts for today are Susan Franzen and Gina McAndrews. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
Thank you, and welcome to all the listeners. Today, we also have Paul Wearson and Ursula Rudenberg joining us for this Pledge Drive program. One of the special things that KHOI brings to you are regular reports from the city and county officials. One of the most faithful of these has been Leanne Carter, the Story County Outreach and Special Projects Manager, who has been bringing her monthly report to us from the very first year of Local Talk. Even when she had to drive over from Nevada by 7 a.m. so she could finish in time to go home and get her kids off to school. Hello, Leanne.
Yeah, I'm here, Leanne. Good to hear from you again. We're looking forward to your report. It's spring, even though it's a little chilly outside, but I'm sure with spring comes all kinds of good news from the county, right?
There is. Good morning, everyone. And it is hard to believe for how many years I've been doing this. It's a great opportunity to come monthly and share what we have happening with Story County. County government is the level of government that surrounds us all, but yet we really don't realize the magnitude of services and types of ways in which county government impacts our daily lives. So that's kind of my little pitch to go to our website, which is www.storycountyiowa.gov. And spend some time learning about what Story County government does for you. And if you listen to this entire segment, you'll have my contact information at the end and you can give me a call and I can help answer any questions that your inquiries may leave you with. But with that being said, I want to start out with some news from Story County. The Story County Treasurer's Office, which has been by appointment only for since October, I believe, is now open for walk-in customers. So at this point, appointments are not necessary. However, customers entering the administration building, and that's over in Nevada at 900 6th Street, visitors are required to wear a mask and practice social distancing standards. If you cannot wear a mask due to a medical condition, you're asked to contact their office and they will provide service in an alternative method. Their phone number is 515-382-7340, or you can reach them at treasurer@storycountyiowa.gov. And again, that's for the Story County Treasurer's Office. The recorder's office is open for walk-in traffic as well now, and I'll share some more information with them when I get a little bit later on the report. I do want to spend some time on the Central Iowa Broadband Study. So this is a study. I've talked about it a couple times, but it's really an important study for Story County and honestly all of Central Iowa. Wow, a year ago, we were really trying to, over a year ago, we were pivoting fast, taking ourselves out of comfort zones. Some of us were working from home, school from home, telemedicine, maybe some binge watching Netflix to make the time go by, exercising online. So many services and our daily lives revolved around connecting using our internet connections. And we learned really where the weaknesses are, as well as where the strengths are in that system too. So Story County, like I said, along with 10 other counties in Central Iowa, is participating in the Central Iowa Broadband Study to determine how available adequate and affordable broadband service is throughout our county. Part of that study, actually, the key and one of the first steps is a survey of Story County residents. We are really in the home stretches of that survey. You've got 2 days to go online and take this. The purpose of that survey is kind of twofold. One, measure the level of connectivity and availability for individuals with broadband and internet. And then find areas that aren't meeting customer and consumer needs and expectations. Again, like it says, open through May 14th. There are two surveys. One is for residential users and the other for businesses. You can go to Story County's website and find the survey if you scroll down to our news flash. You can also go to the website for the Greater Des Moines Partnership, which is dsmpartnership.com. They are the ones coordinating the study, and I hope that everyone will go out. If you're taking it from your phone, from your house, you need to make sure you're connected to your home's Wi-Fi. We really want to encourage people to take it from their home computer or home device so that we can get a true measure of what's happening with broadband in their area. And something else, even if you have great broadband and great connectivity, we really want to hear that too. It's not just where we're failing in the system. This information will be taken and help to really guide the study. And then as funding opportunities come forward for improvements or other types of programming, we'll have this baseline information from which the Board of Supervisors and other jurisdictions may make decisions. So again, you can go to Story County's website and find the survey or Greater Des Moines Partnership. And of course, give me a call. Just quickly, I want to touch on some road closures. The road on E18, which is up between McCallsburg and Roland in northern Story County, there's a major bridge replacement project occurring on E18 between those two cities. Story County is replacing that bridge. It's approximately 400 feet east of S14, or also known as 620th. It started closing on May 10th, this Monday, and it's going to be closed throughout all the duration. Peterson Contractors of Rhinebeck, Iowa, is a prime contractor on the project. It's expected to take approximately 4 months, obviously weather dependent. The detour for the project goes south on S14, east on E29, and then north on S27. So it is quite a little bit of a detour. And then, of course, if you're going the other direction, you just reverse that. There's a map of the detour, and it's marked as well on our county's website. And then Story County has a kind of really major retirement coming up. The current county sanitarian and environmental health director, Margaret Janes, is retiring. I think she's been at Story County for, I know, definitely well over 25 years, and has really been the impetus behind many of the changes that you've seen occur with different regulations for septics, and wells, and the entire gamut of environmental issues affecting Story County residents. But because the current county sanitarian is retiring and that hiring process has begun to fill her replacement, the Story County Environmental Health Department is temporarily suspending septic system site inspections. That started last week, effective May 7th, and that is going until further notice. Septic construction application submittals must include a professional evaluator's report, also known as a soils analysis. Upon receipt of the application, the site evaluation report, the $150 fee, the department will do a site check and issue the septic permit. Septic alterations, which is replacing the tank or D-box, do not require site evaluation. So to obtain alteration permit, easy for me to say, simply submit the application and a $25 fee. If there are any questions, 515-382-7240 is the number you should call. And Story County Environmental Health Department does apologize for any inconvenience. And I, as well as I'm sure many at Story County and throughout the county, would like to express a thank you to Margaret for her many years of service and dedication to Story County. It truly has been a pleasure to learn from her over the years at Story County. And I wish her nothing but the best, and I'm extremely jealous. Updating some information from the recorder's office, I promised I would share this. They are now accepting walk-in customers as well, as I said earlier. Appointments are required, however, if you want to apply for a passport. So you can go to our website, and you'll see a big red button that says make an appointment. click on that and you'll have a choice to go to the recorder's office. Appointments obviously are still available though, and they are encouraged in order to guarantee shorter waiting times for all the other services. And as I said, since they are in the administration building, masks are still required while you're in that building. And the Story County Recorder's Office will be following all CDC guidelines. They do want to share the message that they appreciate your patience during this unprecedented time and thank you for your ongoing support. So I've said quite a lot this morning. If you need more information, you can sign up for Notify Me on our website. If you're on social media, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Story County Iowa. And on Instagram, our handles changed to just Story County. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Story County Iowa. I am at lharter@storycountyiowa.gov. My phone number is 515-382-7247. And thank you for this ongoing partnership and the chance to join you every month. And maybe sometimes bring Paul to tears and maybe sometimes not.
Well, Leanne, great to hear from you. In fact, I live on E18, so I'm glad to hear about the project over there east of me, where the bridge is being reconstructed. Now, a little known fact about Leanne is that she has an elevator in her house. Leanne, is that right?
Nope, not anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, you still have the shaft. So what I would do is put in a dumbwaiter, okay? In fact, dumbwaiter was my nickname on my first job, you know.
That's fine. No, I don't think my daughter would appreciate losing her closet. We did have an elevator, and then after our house was struck by lightning a few years ago, the cost to replace that and that really the necessity were extremely prohibitive. So it's now closet space, much needed closet space.
Well, good to hear from you, Leanne. We'll see you in June.
Oh, that's hard to believe. Yes. Thank you, everyone. See you in a month.
This is Pledge Week, and so this is a special time to mention that Leanne has been with us regularly since we started Local Talk, and one of the most faithful and always with needed news from the county. And she is so faithful that during that lightning storm that knocked out her elevator, she came over to do her show on Local Talk. You remember that, don't you, Paul?
Yes, I do.
So with those of you who were members at the time, thank you. And we hope you'll renew your membership so you get to hear Leanne and all the other great programming that we have on Local Talk and on other programs. If you haven't become a member, you can start right out. We have Ursula Rudenberg with us.
Hi, Susan. Hi, Gina. Hi, Paul. I'm just dropping in here. I'm usually not here on a Wednesday morning, but I'm a big fan of the Wednesday morning Local Talk team, and I wanted to come in and speak on your behalf and just say how great I think it is to have your team covering the Central Iowa area and ask our listeners to show their appreciation for the work you do by becoming a member of KHOI and showing that this is really a service that we all benefit from. Gina, you've been this is kind of the first year that you've been on every Wednesday. I know that it's been a while that you've been on Local Talk Wednesday. How did you ever get involved with Local Talk?
Well, I bumped into Susan, and she was telling me she wanted to go on these adventurous trips to find out more information about her area. And I love adventurous trips and Susan. And driving, and I like asking questions. So it was a great opportunity for us to go on a little adventure and find out more about Central Iowa. And it's been really exciting, and I've enjoyed all of our trips. We went looking at for the Kate Shelley Bridge information in the museum, and we found Kate Shelley's farm and the different schools and different businesses, and we just had a wonderful time. And Susan is very good with all the technology, and we're a good team of I like asking questions, and she's super at putting it all together, and so it's cohesive and everything works.
You are a good
it's been
team.
Really exciting.
I agree. You are a good tease. So it's the road trips that brought you into Local Talk. You've been a world traveler, so I guess that makes sense. You've traveled throughout the whole world, right? And now you're just traveling around Central Iowa.
A little bit, yeah.
And Paul, you've been involved with KHOI before it even was on the air, if I remember correctly. I don't remember a time when Paul Wearson wasn't involved with KHOI. So it's been a long relationship for you, right?
Yes, I've enjoyed that from the first days when Roger contacted me up here in Story City. And, of course, the real meat of my involvement has been on my wonderful road trips with Susan. Or Susan started doing the segment, and we started working together on Wednesdays. One of our first enterprises was to interview the mayors of each of the surrounding communities.
That's right.
And that began a wonderful series of road trips, and it really defined what Wednesday was about when we signed on with all the mayors in the area. It was fascinating.
Wow, so it sounds like the road trips were really kind of part of the heart and soul of Local Talk on Wednesday. That was really your vision, to have road trips.
Yeah, the reason was that I didn't think I could do interviews. And Roger Parmenter's idea was that Paul would be the voice of KHOI. And I thought that was great. And when I heard him do interviews, I said, yeah, he can do the interviews and I can push the buttons. And we moved on from there. But it's so great to have Paul around to do interviews. And it's interesting that everybody's talking about now about the road trips, which we're actually today we'll be doing a sort of a mini road trip over to Boone. And this was sort of where we started, was as Gina mentioned. But we've moved into a different relationship with Zoom because Gina and I are a tag team. I sometimes have trouble with my Zoom link and go silent. And Gina has my script, and Gina becomes me.
Well, you've really provided fantastic leadership, Susan, in leading the Wednesday team. And I know that, I didn't used to know all the towns in Central Iowa, but I pretty much do now because of the Local Talk Wednesday team. So thank you to all of you, Gina and Paul and Susan, for your leadership in really bringing together a very informative and not only informative, but heartwarming connection to all of Central Iowa. And for you who is listening to this, think about whether this is the type of thing that you can support. And if you have not supported KHOI yet, make this your reason today for going to khoifm.org and becoming a member donor. This is what we need to support the work of Paul and Susan and Gina to keep it going, and all the guests that come on. And I see you've got a lineup of guests waiting to talk to you, so I'm going to check out again. But I'm just going to remember you, the person who's listening to Local Talk this morning, that the way to become a member is to go to khoifm.org, khoifm.org, and make a safe and secure pledge there or donation to KHOI, and that will keep these folks talking. Thank you, Gina and Paul and Susan, for the work you do. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ursula.
And I see that we can go directly into our mini road trip to Boone, because three members of the Boone Community Theater are here to tell us about what's coming up this weekend.
Before we hear from the members of the Boone Community Theater who are with us, I'd like to read a little background on this production. The Boone Community Theater will debut new locally composed music as well as community acting talent in The Last of the Dragons, performed May 13th to 15th at Herman Park Pavilion, 621 South Green Street in Boone. The Last of the Dragons premiered in Chicago years ago, but due to copyright complications has not returned as a musical since its first run. Thanks to an old college connection between the playwright David Barefoot and VCT's Pamela Webster and Michelle Levi, the play will be presented in Boone with new music, composed by Gershom Levi of Ogden, with lyrics by Brandon Windus of Ames. And now we will hear from Susan Herrick, who is the co-director with Pamela Webster. Hi, Susan.
Morning, Susan.
And Gershom Levi.
And Maggie Witt. And so what's going on over in Boone this weekend?
Well, the Boone Community Theater is debuting a brand new musical, and we're very excited about it. It's called The Last of the Dragons. It's a family show. It's something that not only the kids are going to love, but the adults are going to love it too.
Tell us what it's about.
Sure. It is, well, fairy tale-like. There's a young prince and a young princess from two different kingdoms, and it would be good for both kingdoms for those people to marry. And so they are trying to inspire those two to get together. And the king has a daughter. The queen of the other kingdom has a son. And somehow they're not exactly the kind of traditional prince and princesses that you expect. And it's a great story of people getting together who are not your traditional types, but it's a wonderful musical, and Gershom Levi wrote the music for it, and Gershom speaks very well about the show too. So Gershom, you want to talk a little bit about that?
So yeah, I got the script a couple, I think 2 years ago, and I had fun just starting off and working, getting the music tied into the script. It was. I think I got some really fun music, and I think people will really enjoy it.
So, where can we see this?
Well, because of COVID, we have decided again to put something out at the Herman Park Pavilion. So we'll be outside. We open it Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and also Friday night at 7 and Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it, because we're outside and can stay socially distanced, we think we're COVID safe to do that. It's because part of the play takes place out in front of the Cave of the Dragon. It works really well to be outside. And I know that we did Macbeth last fall out there, and it worked out pretty well. People brought their lawn chairs and sat in the pavilion and had a great time. We expect that the families that come to see The Last of the Dragons are going to like being outside too. We're also joined by Christopher Levi. Christopher plays the king, the father of the princess. Christopher, you want to talk a little bit about the king and his role in all of this?
Well, first of all, it's good to be king. The king is a funny character because he's got this thing about tradition. And it doesn't always make sense, but he's a firm believer in it. And I think the trick is to make him not a foolish person or a silly character, even though he has these weird hangups, because he's got a rich, warm heart for his kingdom and for his daughter. And that has to shine through first. So there's a little bit of acting challenge, but it's really a delightful piece with a couple of fun solos too, a couple of fun songs.
Maggie Whitty is also joining us. Maggie plays the parrot in the kingdom, who is a very good friend of the king, and also has a pretty realistic view of the characters that are being brought in. There is another prince that is sort of in line to want to marry the princess, and Maggie has some pretty realistic views of that other prince. So. And Maggie's our youngest member of the cast.
Yes, I honestly, I kind of saw it as I'm not making decisions. I'm just along for the ride. There's nothing I could really do to change opinion, but like, could you have picked anyone better?
It's up to her to deliver the message to the young prince, to invite him to come over and meet and marry the princess. And since she doesn't agree with the one prince, she claims wind shear and gets it delivered to the wrong prince. So.
So where are the dragons?
Well, we only have one dragon left in the world. So this is the last of the dragons. And David Michael, who is from your area, plays the dragon very well. And the dragon also is not very traditional. I think he may steal the show. He's one of the funniest characters that comes on stage. And we're just having a delightful time. We end up laughing at each other a lot in rehearsals. Pamela Webster is directing all of the music, and the music is just charming. Gershom's done such a great job. And I think that people are, as the kids and the adults, are just going to be charmed by everything that they see and hear.
Okay. Well, so when and where is this again? And how can people get tickets?
We're at the Herman Park Pavilion, which is right at the south end of Green Street in Boone. It'll happen at 7 o'clock in the evening on Thursday and Friday night, and then 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. We're encouraging people to bring their lawn chairs. There are picnic tables and so forth that you can sit on, but if you want to be really comfortable, bring your lawn chair and maybe a little blanket when you come in the evenings, because it is a little chilly yet. And you can get tickets at the door, or you can get them through our website, which is boonecommunitytheater.com. And we would be happy to take care of that. So you can get them on our website, or you can get them at the door.
I'm glad to see that the Boone Community Theater is coming out of COVID. You've already done one production out there at Halloween time with, I guess, some similar parts of the same set. And so, so thank you so much for all of you for coming on. And I'm very curious to know what these mismatched princes and princesses are like.
Susan, we're delighted to be here, and we hope that people will come out and see us.
Thanks for the preview.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And since we're talking about road trips to Boone, the next segment is actually based on a road trip to Boone that Mike took, that Gina and I were not able to go. I wasn't able to go because it was the beginning of COVID, but there were a lot of people turned out for the Black Lives Matter March. And just to sort of give us a feeling for that, Mike has a little clip that he went over and covered it. He got interviews, and it was so good and so surprising for Boone, Iowa, that we actually used it on a national show. But this is just a little clip at the very end that we broadcast. Mike? Is
it your name again?
Megan Poole.
Megan Poole.
Yes.
And you spoke earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So you were involved early on in the planning of this?
Yes. Yes, I was.
And what motivated you?
I guess because I'm part of the younger generation, so I want to do this for all the younger kids, the people who come after us, mm-hmm. just to make sure that they know that there's nothing wrong with them, no matter what society tells them, that they are perfect the way they are, and that they shouldn't listen to anyone who doesn't agree with their skin color, because eventually this is going to be everyone that's out here. It's us against racism, and I'm happy that it was this many people out here to support us, because this is what changes the world.
Right.
My name is Aja, that's A'JA, last name Lyons, LYONS.
Okay, and as you said in your little talk, you live here.
I do live here. I am not an outsider, I live here.
And what did you think about the turnout?
I was floored. When I showed up, I started crying because I was not expecting this big of a turnout. I was expecting 20 to 40 people, maybe 50 max.
That's what I was thinking too.
And I know there was more than 50.
Yeah.
I know there was more than 50.
There were more than 200 easily.
Yes, and I couldn't believe it. And people showed up, and as I said, they didn't just show up for me. They didn't just show up for the Black community in Boone or even in Iowa. What they're really doing is showing up for themselves and for morality.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as people realize that is a lot of what it's about, I mean, it literally is about Black lives. Don't get me wrong. That's priority number one. But number two is your own sense of morality.
Right. Just basically doing the right thing.
It is the right thing. And acknowledging that it's the right thing and putting in the work towards the right thing.
That's
and it's
great.
Just hands and feet on the groundwork. It's not some little sticker or blackout on Facebook. It's like, no.
Right.
It's showing the world exactly who you are, what you value, what is important, and what you will fight for.
Is there anything else you want to let the KHOI listeners know?
Today we showed that Boone is not some bigoted little railroad town where people can sort of get away with nothing. That's my babies. Those are our friends. Those are our neighbors. Those are our loved ones. And they're making us so proud.
This
and
is a bunch of young
I
folks.
Floyd! George Floyd! Breonna Taylor!
Look at the baby.
Breonna Taylor!
One of the voices that you heard on that clip was Aja Lyons. And Aja is with us in the studio, but she's muted. Aja, could you hear that?
I could. Beautiful, beautiful, happy memory.
Yes, it really was. And as a result, you dubbed KHOI Diversity Radio, which we will try to live up to that. And this is a good time to mention that because we're trying to encourage new members to join us. And we'd like to be able to really speak to a larger membership. Ursula, do you want to chip in here and
Susan, thank you for tossing it to me just for a minute here. I'm not going to take too much time because you've got some really other interesting people ready to talk. Aja, it's good to have you back on KHOI. Last time you were here, you recited a really spectacular poem that all kind of set us on fire here at the station. So it's great to have you back at the station. And so I just want to speak to a minute for those of you who are listening to Local Talk this morning. We are really about bringing the voices of Central Iowa to you in all of its diversity and all of its beauty. There's just so much beauty and so much intelligence and creativity and life in Central Iowa. And it is the mission of Local Talk Wednesday to bring that to you here through the airwaves for not only your pleasure, but for your education, for your awareness, and for your sense of community. That's what Wednesday Local Talk is about. And hats off to Gina and Susan and Paul Wearson for making those sounds and those insights and those connections possible. I know I feel a lot more connected to Central Iowa than I ever thought I would be. And, you know, things like this rally in Boone. Who knew that something like this could happen in Boone with so much enthusiasm and so much sincerity? And yet there it is. We hear it on the radio. So thank you, Susan and Gina, for making this happen. And thank you, Aja, for coming on and sharing this voice with us. And thank you for listening to us. I'm speaking to you, the other person on the other side of the radio. Thank you for listening to us, and thank you for sharing this journey with us. And this is how you can support that journey. The easiest thing is to go to khoifm.org and become a listener member. There's a big yellow button that shows you where you can do that. It's a safe and secure way to pledge, or not only pledge, but make a donation. Basic membership for KHOI for a year is $60, which is, quite frankly, $5 a month. It's a good deal. A lot of people donate a $100 membership instead because they value KHOI. If you really don't like to donate online, you could give us a call. I'm here at the station. You can call 515-292-2878 and make a pledge. I'll pick up the phone and thank you for doing that. Or if you would like to drop by your donation in the form of a check, either in person or by mail, just go to our website, khoifm.org. You'll find our address there. But while you're there, think about just making a pledge online. It's, in a way, the easiest way to do it, the fastest. So, again, that's khoyfm.org. And I'm going to throw it back to you, Susan, and Gina, and Aja.
Yes, well, it's time now to hear from Aja. And would you please unmute yourself, Aja, so you can join in the conversation. One of the things that we talked about when you were going to come on is what's happened since last March. That was such a hopeful time. And are there any suggestions to keep that going?
Well, the pandemic has made things difficult. We, you know, can't really meet up too much in person, or shouldn't right now. It's a lot of people in Boone are getting vaccinated, but there's a significant portion who are not. And so we're waiting until medical professionals say it's safe to do so. We've had a few online discussions. But really continuing the conversation and trying to meet people where they are, but at the same time, refusing to sort of scuttle past the truth. So what happened after the march was I had a lot of people saying to me, you know, oh, well, the police were so kind and helpful by blocking off streets and handing out water. And that was absolutely nice. Absolutely wonderful. I did not request that. They were informed as to what was going on and where in the route. Yet, when I spoke to Chief Wiebold about personal interactions that I had with the police that were negative and discriminatory and things that people had told me, the response I got was, well, I can't do anything about that. And when I asked if he would support, if there was a clear instance of police brutality that resulted in, you know, significant harm, someone being hurt or even murdered, if he would support, you know, termination and charges getting filed, he said, I can't answer in hypotheticals. Well, that's what the law is. So understanding, because Iowa has this culture of Iowa nice, that it's not about people being nice or not being nice. And I really need people to understand that it's beyond the social aspect. I've lived in Iowa for 7 years, and I can count on one hand the number of people who have been mean to me. But when it comes to my safety, when it comes to recourse, when it comes to the disparity in the how the systems and structures treat people, how people are treated in schools, how people are treated in the criminal justice system, it's not about nice or mean. And I need people to get beyond whether or not someone is smiling in your face.
Well, that's, I think, probably difficult for a lot of people to grasp. What one of the things, of course, that made that rally so outstanding was that the people who were there were all there because they wanted to be there. I gather that there were some not so happy people at the city council following that they weren't there. They must not have understood what was going on because they somehow thought it had something to do with violence when it was. It was, but thank you for that insight into Iowa Nice, because I think there is a sense from a lot of Iowans that if your friend or your neighbor, although that is important, you mentioned a situation where you were locked out of your house, and when and you called the police, and I actually, that's interesting. I would never think of calling the police if I was locked out of my house, out of my car. Yes. And now I think there's some, I don't think that they can let you into your car like they used to. The world is changing.
You got that incorrect. I have to correct you there. I was accidentally locked out of my house by someone I had staying with me. It was a complete accident. I did not call the police. I called a friend who has a spare key to my house. That person thought maybe it didn't sound right and there might have been a domestic violence situation, and called the police. I did not call the police. Under no circumstance do I call the police, unless I think there's going to be a public safety or public health issue. And that was a horrible negative experience. And I hate that that person called the police, because it was god awful. And up until then, I'd actually had positive experiences with Boone police, but they ended up harassing me.
Well, that's unfortunate. Well, I think that we have, are there any suggestions that you would have? We had talked about having someone involved with the police here. We have in Ames, we do have an officer who is trained to de-escalate problems, and and unfortunately I couldn't get hold of her. And I was told that we also talked about some training that YSS has, but that their training is really only for people in their residential facilities and de-escalating people who are upset. And that it's actually quite interesting. It's a patented training. It's not something that just, you know, you can't use it except for those facilities. So having a person who is trained to de-escalate, say, students who are upset and bad situations in a high school conflict, is a pretty major step, but it probably would make a huge difference. Was that your feeling? You've been trained from YSS, is that right?
Yes, I worked at YSS and I worked at LSI, and I'm also a foster and adoptive parent. And you know, it's not always a guarantee. You certainly try your best. The best methods are to be proactive. I think it depends on the police department. I was told by Boone Police Chief Webold that, you know, they have someone go out to the de-escalation trainings and then they come back and train all the officers at Boone PD. And I think that might be pretty standard protocol for most departments. All of them should be trained in de-escalation, and all of them might be. Whether or not they all use it is a different story. But I think, you know, when it comes to in social environments and climates, you know, the police, their job is to be reactive. That's sort of what it is. You know, police don't prevent crime or deter crime. They're just there to be reactive. And I think if there were more members out in the community, or if there were official members out in the community who were there to sort of help manage the social environments and help to keep people at baseline or at a certain emotional level, or to react in a measure that is to de-escalate situations that are, you know, not violent but have the potential to do so, would really sort of change the climate and change people's attitudes. And I would think also people sort of trying to lose the mindset that there needs to be a punishment for poor behavior. Poor behavior tends to be a reaction to trauma, to gross misinformation. And I think if we start seeing actions as cries for help and cries for need, instead of people being monsters in need of punishment or caging, that would make a drastic difference. And the reality is, whether you think negatively or positively towards the police, many of them are acting in a way that society supports. People constantly, you know, are praising police when they've shot a bad guy or caught a bad guy, and it might make someone feel safe, you know, for the next 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 months. But is anything being done to prevent future criminals from becoming criminals? Well, and that's sort of the uncomfortable aspect.
Well, that is the question, and it's more than we can handle on Local Talk this morning. Thank you very much, Ajat, for coming on and giving us this insight. And we have another little segment to talk about. It has to do with Local Talk. And but thanks so much for your contributions to Diversity Radio and to our insights.
Thank you for having me. You all have a lovely morning.
You too. We have a new segment that is not quite Local Talk, but it is during our time slot, and that is Capital Week. And we have Dennis Hart, who you know from the his weekly, twice weekly news summaries. And he's linked up with Laura Bellin of Bleeding Heartland. And the reason that I wanted to let people know who might not be aware of this schedule change, that formerly all the Local Talks were rebroadcast at 7 o'clock in the evening. And now on Monday evening, we have a special program called Capital Week. And this is a conversation between Dennis Hart and Laura Bellin of Bleeding Heartland. And Laura has been following the legislature for years. And now she has a voice on the air, and she's wonderful. And I particularly wanted to have her today because on the program that will be broadcast at noon today. Now, that's the new time slot. The other one was it's 7 in the evening on Monday, but on noon on Wednesday, we have Capital Week. And it's a wonderful supplement to Local Talk Wednesday because we usually don't have anything. We can't follow the news on with the legislature. And actually, one of the advantages of having this on Wednesday is that we can listen on Monday and say, hey, you know, this is something we want to make sure everybody hears. And so we know that if they listen on Wednesday noon, they can hear Dennis and Laura, and actually a little segment that I prepared to fill in the time at the end. But the important part is Dennis and Laura. And the issue for today that struck me is at the very end of the program, and is the response to the governor's rather amazing, after the legislature's over, announcement that transgender girls should not be allowed to take part in girls' sports. And I had hoped that Laura could be on to talk to us about that. But if you listen at noon today, that you'll hear the best analysis, which to summarize is that basically the governor is not doing this to be fair to girls, that the athletic associations don't discriminate one way or the other for scholarships, although the transgender girls haven't gotten scholarships because they're not particularly advantaged in girls' sports. What is the advantage is for them personally, so they can interact with other kids. And they really need that. They need to have a good social chance to interact and doing something, and there's nothing better than sports for that. And so this is there have been several other organizations that have spoken out against the governor's pronouncement, including the ACLU and the Iowa Interfaith Alliance, neither of which were available for commenting on that. But Laura's is the best because, but listen to her at noon and find out what she has to say.
Yeah, Susan, this is Ursula. Also, today's show will include an interview that our engineer Mike Murphy did with Laura and Dennis Hart, asking them a little bit about themselves. So it's a really great opportunity to find out a little bit more about who both Dennis Hart and Laura Bellin are. They kind of each tell their life story, or at least their professional life story, on the in this interview with Mike. And I have to say there's one thing that I think Dennis said that is not true. He said that KHOI didn't really realize they needed to have an analysis like this until they did it. And actually, in fact, we have for years wanted to have a good analysis and reporting on what's happening at the Iowa Capitol and the legislative and governor's part of governing Iowa. So having Dennis and Laura do this was really the fulfillment of a dream of KHOI to provide better news. So we're very excited that we're able to do this, and we really hope that if nothing else, that this would be a reason for you who's listening to KHOI to show your support for this organization. And something both Laura and Dennis emphasized is that this is free media. We don't tell them what to say. We never ask them what they're going to report. They really have free rein, as everybody does at KHOI, to really bring the news and information and opinions that they themselves have and can speak freely. So this is a free press, right? We are free press. We are the free media. And we really hope that if you're listening to this and you feel you really want to support this in the name of democracy, in the name of community, show your support, and show your support for Susan Franson, who literally is one of the founders of KHOI. If it hadn't been for Susan, KHOI would not be here. So the place to go to show your support is khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. You will plainly see the yellow button where you can make your donation.
And thank you, but it's kind of funny because every step of the way, I said, no. I don't think we should have a radio station. I'm not going to work on this. And then I wound up working on it. I'm not going to ever do interviews. So, and I love it. And I hope that our listeners love it too.
You've been listening to Local Talk here on KHOI Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org. And you can find links to the guests and information you heard during our program today. Local broadcast will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. And Capital Week will be broadcast on Wednesdays at noon.
Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Hosts were Gina McAndrews, Susan Franson, and Paul Wearson, and Ursula Rudenberg. Guests were Leanne Harder, Aja Lyons, Susan Herrick, and many members of the cast of The Last Dragon. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or you can contact us through our website at khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us when you decide to become a member, or you can renew your membership today by going to our website at khoifm.org and hitting the donate become a member button. If you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio. Thank you.